Montero Consulting welcomes you to the Anywhere Office with Phil and Jason Montero. In the next hour, Phil and Jason take a big picture approach to the philosophies and strategies of navigating today's digital lifestyle. Turn up your speakers and don't click that mouse. Here are your hosts, Phil and Jason Montero.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Anywhere Office. Phil Montero here.
And Jason Montero.
And we are going to have a great show today, and I think a very topical show today. What we're going to be talking about is failing to plan is planning to fail, business continuity in the changing world of work.
I'm excited about today's show. We've been talking about some of these ideas and kind of introducing some concepts, and I feel like we're finally going to start to get down on it, down into some of the dirty details.
Yeah, I think so. Last week we talked about living a digital lifestyle, so we were talking about some technology and more from kind of a day-to-day personal living, how it's affecting your life, entertainment, those type of things. But today we're really going to focus a little bit more on the work side of things and a little bit about, you know, how you keep your business going and can use some of the technology and strategies we talk about and use the Anywhere Office and distributed work in order to help your business stay afloat when it comes to certain bumps and maybe road speed bumps in the information highway, let's say.
That's right. We're going to have a guest on the second half of the show, Brian Donahue from Citrix, and they make GoToMeeting and GoToMyPC, and that's a tool that addresses these problems and the business continuity and disaster recovery directly.
That's right. You go to my PC really helps because all your critical information is usually on your office PC. And if you're trying to work from home or while traveling or out of the office due to some kind of a disaster or continuity situation, you have to usually try to copy everything to a disk, email your files to yourself, or sync up your laptops. And that could be a real hassle. So when we talk to Brian, one of the things we're going to talk about is how GoToMyPC is a great solution for that because I find it's one of the best ways to access your PC from anywhere all over the Internet. You can just log on to GoToMyPC.com from any other computer and your desktop instantly appears just as though you were sitting in front of it.
Yeah, and you can that way you can work with all your programs and files. You can check your email. You can access your network resources. And all you need is Internet access. You don't need a software program or you don't need another device. We'll talk to Brian about this, but they're offering our radio show listeners a special trial, a 30-day free trial. And if you go to GoToMyPC.com and use the promo code AnywhereOffice when you're signing up, the promo code is AnywhereOffice. It's at GoToMyPC.com, and you can get that free trial on there.
Yeah, so just go by there and check that out. And like I said, we'll talk a little bit about that. And it really brings us to what we're talking about here, which is business continuity and disaster recovery. And a little bit later after the break, we'll talk a little somewhat about what the difference is between those two things. But from an overarching concept, it really has to do with when things happen that might disturb the normal flow of business. And one of the things that really helps with that and that a lot of companies, or smart companies, I should say, do, is something called distributed work. And what distributed work really means is having the ability for your employees and your workforce and your teams to be able to collaborate and conduct business as usual from multiple locations so that they don't all have to be in one central location or in the central office to be able to work that way. And I think what you'll find is that some companies kind of as a knee-jerk reaction when something happens or they have a disaster or a continuity situation, they'll suddenly look to this as a possible solution. But I think the smart companies, the savvy companies, are ones that are doing this and have these plans in place right from the get-go. Wouldn't you say, Jason?
One of the things we do, I absolutely agree with that, and one of the things we do that was kind of born of this is we go into a lot of companies and we do a workflow audit for them, and we look at the way that they're conducting business on a day-to-day basis, and we examine some of the methods and some of the tools they're using, and we break it down into three categories. It sounds fairly simplistic, but sometimes, as you'll notice, like some of the truest things sound so simple when you hear them. You hear it and it's kind of like you go, yeah, of course. And then when you stop and you think about it, you realize that it's of course, but are you really implementing those things? And by breaking it down, we have these three categories. We look at how people access their information, how they manage their information, how they communicate with each other, and how they collaborate. And I think if you were to look at your workday and you were to unpack what it is you do in the day, just write it down as maybe as a list of tasks or as a series of tasks, what you would discover is that everything you do fits into one of these three categories. So if you can look at the way that, kind of the way you approach each one of those categories, it gives you a real handle on if you're doing that the best way or how you would have to implement different strategies to take advantage of those things remotely from working in this distributed manner.
Yeah, the ICC, and that's what we refer to as ICC, Information Communication Collaboration, really is the methodology we found after working with a number of companies, throughout the years. Our experience has led us to believe that if you just look at those three things, and to talk about them a little bit, again, information. So from that standpoint, you look at things like, well, what kind of information does an employee or do these different departments need in order to do their day-to-day work and to continue working? And that may be different depending upon the employee or depending upon the department. Some companies or some departments need specific information, maybe proprietary systems or specific databases and things that might be located in the office that they need remote access to. In other cases, then they may be able to just take what they need, put it on a CD or a USB thumb drive and take it with them or on their laptop and carry it with them. So what kind of information do they need in order to be able to do their work?
And I think that, and again, then that's where that differs from collaboration is, if you just need access to specific kind of information, then that portability might be something that works for you. But if you're trying to collaborate on documents or you're trying to collaborate on a project, and I'm sure you know, we've done this in the past, and pretty much any place I've ever worked, you run into that snag where I'm working on a report or a document, and then I'm sending it to somebody else, and we're emailing it back and forth, and we're sort of losing track of what's the most recent one, or did I make changes after this, or did my teammate make changes to it after I had sent it to them. So when you're looking at collaboration, it's more not necessarily even a real-time thing as much as it is you're looking at a way to that everybody's kind of getting at the same information and all the changes have been included in it, and that you can keep track of where you're at in the process, in the creative process.
And there's a number of ways you can do that. I mean, Microsoft Word and Excel have collaboration features built into them that a lot of people don't know about. It's amazing. Microsoft Office has so many features, and so few people really use a lot of those features. But there are built-in ways where you can work on a document, make some edits and changes, forward it to the next person. They see those changes, and it puts comments, and it actually puts initials. And there are things like that you can do. As you mentioned, it doesn't even have to be real-time collaboration. Adobe Acrobat also now, which is a great way of distributing digital documents through Teams and for various teams, particularly if you have people using different versions of maybe Office and things like that, also has those collaboration features built in. But beyond that, if you do have a need for real-time collaboration, there are tools that allow you to do that as well. And again, that's why it's important to take a look at the way that you work and really step back and look at the way your workflow happens, and that's why we do these audits. And another thing is comes down to communication. Is fax important to you? Is it mostly phone? Is it mostly email? And what different people do you need to communicate with? Again, there's a variety of ways to handle communication. Everything from, being able to have conference calls if you need to talk with many people, using cell phones, having instant messaging. If you're using faxes, there's ways to have faxes come in over the internet digitally so that you can easily forward faxes to other people rather than having to refax the document. A number of ways that you can do that. In fact, after when we come back from the break, when we do our In the News section, we're going to talk a little bit about how some people in the Florida area use some great communication strategies and technology in order to circumvent some of the business continuity issues with Hurricane Wilma last year, and we'll see some of those things. So I really think it is, one of the essential things that a company needs to do is to really take a step back, look at your workflow, and really analyze your business process and try to find a smarter way to do it that will make it a little more resilient in the face of some of the things that comes up.
Yeah, and what we're talking about here are some of the fundamental concepts of what we call the Anywhere Office. And I want to reiterate, it's not always some complex sort of technical solution to a challenge, or it's not always even a new way of doing things, as much as it is kind of having, putting that forethought into it and thinking about the way that you really do some fundamental tasks and some fundamental, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, the way you do business, looking at really fundamentally the way you do business and seeing how you, with some forethought and putting some things in place, how you can really do these sort of things from any place.
Yeah, sure, and that's what, again, an Anywhere office is. It means being able to conduct business when and where you want to or when and where you need to. And speaking of collaboration is one of those main things, what I'd like to do is just let everybody know how you can collaborate with us on this show and help us make it better and help really contribute to this. And there's a couple of things you can do. First of all, you can come by theanywhereoffice.com. We have a blog there, and you're welcome to post comments to that blog, and that's also where any resources, we'll be mentioning a lot of resources and a little bit later in the show where we'll be posting links to those things. You can always call in live during the show, either to ask us questions or our guests, and that number is 866-472-5790. You can email us at radioshow@theanywhereoffice.com, or if you'd like to leave messages, questions, and feedback during the times when we're not doing the show live, we have another number for that, 954-208-0165. And interestingly, I got an email from a colleague, Matsibe, who's located in South Africa, and what he was asking was, well, we have some way for perhaps using Skype or some kind of other method other than just a regular phone call to leave to contribute to the show. And we'll definitely address some of those things going forward and see if we can find some other ways that maybe people can call in if you're not in the U.S. And it might be a little costly to call some different ways that you can do that. So we're going to wrap up here a little bit and go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at some of the things in the news segment, and we'll talk a little bit about the difference between disaster recovery and business continuity. So make sure you stay tuned.
Business information you need, from the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Would you, could you on a plane? Would you, could you on a train? In an airport? Hotel room? Would you, could you on the moon?
I could do it on a plane. I can do it on a train. Yes, in an airport or hotel room. I will do it on the moon. And you can too, so don't despair. You can work from anywhere.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Welcome back to the Anywhere office. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 866-472-5790 or email radioshow@theanywhereoffice.com. Now back to the show. Here are Phil and Jason.
Hey, welcome back to the Anywhere office, our show about living a digital lifestyle and navigating the changing world of work. And today we're talking about business continuity and the changing world of work. Planning, failing to plan is planning to fail.
Yes, and what we were talking about before, which is it really is important to not wait until the last minute and try to take a knee-jerk reaction to this, but I think to make sure that you actually plan how you're going to deal with these situations when it comes up. And I think, you know, a perfect example of that, you know, first of all, Jay and I are actually practicing distributed work today because I'm actually calling in from the Boston area today, and Jason's in Florida.
I'm down in Florida. If you hear this construction noise here, that's them putting a third story on our Anywhere office and actually repairing some of the damage from last year's hurricane season.
And that's right. Last year we had, as I'm sure anyone knows, Hurricane Wilma blew through and did quite a lot of damage to a lot of areas. And we were actually pretty fortunate in the Florida area. We're in the Delray Beach area. And while it left us without power for about 2 weeks, Jay?
Yeah, it was about 8 or 9 days.
8 or 9 days without power. I mean, certainly we didn't suffer the way that the people in New Orleans, and I don't want to obviously diminish anything that happened there, but you know, we had some, you know, screen completely ripped off the back of our house, and we had some issues with power trees down, like I mentioned. And a lot of companies in Florida, again, the forward-thinking ones, had some systems in place. And for our In the News section this week, what I'd like to talk about is a story that ran in the Sun Sentinel. This was at the end of June last month, and it was an article talking about how voice over IP, or VoIP, as it's often known, can make phone systems hurricane resistant. And if you're not familiar with voice over IP, what that is a technology that allows you to use a high-speed internet connection like a T1 line or a DSL or a cable modem and what's called a VoIP phone or voice over IP phone to actually send, make, and receive phone calls. So you plug this special phone into your internet connection, and rather than using regular phone lines for your phone calls, you actually use that high-speed connection. And you've probably seen a lot of commercials for Vonage. They're one of the most popular companies that are offering this service today. Linksys, I believe, just came out with a voice over IP phone as well. And what this article talks about is a couple of people in South Florida last October that had to deal with how am I going to conduct my business for a week or two without telephone service. And one example was a gentleman who worked for a realty company, and he actually had one of these systems in place, these voice over IP systems. So what he did was when the power went out and he knew he wasn't going to have his phone service, he had, you know, knowing that the hurricane was coming, had taken his voice over IP phone out of the office. He actually went up to the Orlando area, got himself a hotel room for 2 weeks, using the high-speed internet access in the hotel room, plugged his voice over IP phone in there. And the beauty of VoIP, I just like saying the word VoIP, so I'll just say that, is that one of the beauties of this system is that the phone number, no matter where you take it and plug it in, your phone number doesn't change. So literally he moved, you know, drove 2 or 3 hours north, went into a hotel room, plugged the phone into the internet access there, and as soon as he got online, the phone got online, the people would call the number they always called to reach him, and the phone calls were seamlessly redirected over the internet to his phone in the Orlando office.
Right, so like we stress, it's a seamless solution. It's not like having to reach out to all of your client base and your partners and your coworkers and tell them, oh, this is the new number I'm going to be at until the power comes back on or any of that. It's you just basically go about doing business as usual, and you just have to alter your location or maybe just change up what you're doing a little bit.
And these systems have become more affordable, but there are some expenses obviously involved with this depending upon the system that you need, and it's a matter of choosing the one that's right for you. Now, as you mentioned, a seamless solution obviously would be the best solution, but let's say you are a solo professional or someone that works for yourself out of a home office, you run a small business, and maybe you find that the cost of a system like that might not be something that is within your business budget. And one of the things we're always trying to emphasize when we talk about these things is that there are plenty of solutions and plenty of strategies regardless of what your business does. And again, they cite an example here of another woman where she was a little cautious about using a voice over IP system. She said she had heard some people might have had some problems with dropped calls and didn't quite trust the new technology. So what she did instead was she had a voicemail system provided from her phone company. She used Bell South, which one of the advantages to that is unlike a regular answering machine, even if there's no power and your phone line is down, that system, being that it's housed or provided as a service from the phone company, can still take calls. And what she did was basically, on her outgoing message, just leave her cell phone number. And she said, okay, you know, our phones, we're having some temporary phone problems. If you'd like to reach me, please give me a call on my cell phone. And she put her cell phone number there. And during that storm, a lot of people still had cell phone coverage, even though their regular landlines weren't working. So, again, here's a woman who had a strategy, even though she wasn't necessarily using a very high-tech strategy of something like voice over IP, but she quickly adapted to the situation because she had this plan in place. She took her cell phone, went to another place where she had power with her laptop, left a simple addendum to the end of her regular standard voicemail message, and again, it was business as usual for her for the next 2 weeks because she couldn't deal with all the business loss that would have come from not having that phone service for those 2 weeks.
And I think that highlights, we're talking about preparedness here, and that kind of highlights that I want to point out we're talking about business continuity and disaster recovery, and just for maybe somebody who's not familiar with these terms, that there I want to point out that there is a slight difference between between these two things. A lot of the strategies for dealing with them are the same, but they're actually two different concepts. When we're talking about the hurricane and maybe not being able to get into the office or having power out, we're really talking about a business continuity issue there.
Exactly. Continuity really is, you might want to consider it a more minor speed bump. It's something that's temporary. For example, it might be storms that cause you not to be able to get into your office, whether that's a hurricane. If you're in, like, for example, I said I was dialing in from Boston today, it might be snowstorms that prevent you from getting in the office. It might be some kind of an event that's going on. When the Democratic National Convention came to Boston a few years back, there was tons of traffic and things that were going to prevent people from being able to get into the office. There was a transit strike in New York last year, which impacted for some time people's ability to get into the office. So a business continuity is really something that's a small speed bump that might temporarily displace you and stop you from being able to get in and do the work that you normally need to do.
Sure, and when we're talking about disaster recovery, we're really talking about something a little more serious, like something like a fire at your place of work or something like a flooding. So if you had a hurricane and there was some flooding involved and maybe you keep all your key files in a central location, maybe they're all at the office, maybe they're all on a hard drive at the office, and something happens to that, what type of plan do you have in place to confront that type of disaster?
Sure, or in a more drastic situation, I mean, I think the most glaring example that really made people, you know, wake up and take notice of disaster recovery, not that companies weren't already paying attention to, but which was 9/11 in New York, where suddenly, you know, not just a flood or a fire, but, I mean, mass destruction in an area, which is something that can happen, whether it be due to, you know, any number of reasons. You know, it doesn't have to be some kind of, you know, covert terrorist activity, but it could just be a building problem or an accident or a construction issue. I mean, here in Boston, again, that's probably more of a business continuity, the problems they have with the tunnel, the Big Dig tunnel coming down, and people being displaced and their abilities to get into work. And so, like you said, with disaster recovery, we're talking about a more permanent loss of workplace or a much more extended loss of workplace. And I think that will take us to our Tech Talk this week. And what our Tech Talk segment is where we talk about some specific technologies that can help you with these type of issues or what the type of issues that we might be dealing with that week's show. And our Tech Talk this week we're going to talk about is remote backups. Now, everyone out there, I'm sure everyone that's listening to this show is backing up their data on a regular basis.
Just like I am.
Yes. I'm sure there's not a single one of you out there that's possibly, you know, flying by the seat of your pants and
that's
not
right.
Backing stuff up.
No, I've never once in my life ever lost a file because
no,
I didn't back it up.
They say there's two kinds of people. There's people that have had a hard drive failure, and then there's people that have just not yet had a hard drive failure. And it's inevitable that it's going to happen, and somehow you're going to need to figure out a way, again, if you're smart and you want to plan how you can get this information or back up your data so that if some kind of disaster does happen, it could be something like the theft of your computer system if you work out of a home office or somewhere, or your servers crashing and dying, or the building collapsing. How do you get that? And there's a number of different solutions for this, and I'd like to just, you know, mention a couple of them here, affordable solutions that any company can kind of implement. Now, a lot of companies do backup tapes on site, and you might be backing up, but one of the things you need to keep in mind is it's important that your backups live off-site, because if the building does collapse, or if the server is taken, or if there is a flood or a fire, having your backups in the same location as the office really isn't doing you much good. And a couple things I'd like to mention here. One of them is a great, affordable piece of software called Second Copy. And again, we'll put a link to this on the blog. Second Copy costs about $30, and it can be scheduled to back up your files to a remote drive, to CDs, or actually using an FTP service, you can back them up online. Another thing is iBackup, which is a subscription service. If you don't have your own USB drive or an FTP site and you want to really do something where it's kind of automatic and you don't think about it, iBackup is a great service I've found. I have a couple of clients using that, and they can use that to back up their information online. What we're going to do is actually go to a quick break here. And when we come back, what we'll be taking Brian Donahue from Citrix will be on, and then maybe back toward the latter half of the show, we'll talk a little bit more about some of these remote backup solutions. And again, you know, we'll post some information onto the blog about that as well, about iBackup, Second Copy, and some other great ways that you can use to back up your software and mostly your data files that you need in order to keep working. So again, it's important to have a plan. And join us after the break. We'll be talking with Brian and some other things that you can keep in mind and plan to make sure that your business can continue in the face of disaster or continuity issues.
The number I'm calling, but I hope it's with you.
Hi, this is Phil Montero, founder of YouCanWorkFromAnywhere.com, and I'd like to give you some of your time back. In my 15 years mentoring virtual teams and entrepreneurs, I found literally hundreds of quick, easy-to-understand tips, tricks, and shortcuts. In the Anywhere Office ebook series, you can get my top tips about email, laptops, home offices, Palm Pilots, and virtual teams. If you act right now, you can get all 5 tip books for the price of 4, less than the cost of a tank of gas. Just visit youcanworkfromanywhere.com and click on the Products tab. Then start thinking about what you're going to do with all that free time.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome back to the Anywhere Office. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 866-472-5790 or email radioshow@theanywhereoffice.com. Now back to the show. Here are Phil and Jason.
Hey, welcome back to the Anywhere Office, our show about living a digital lifestyle and the changing world of work. And we are happy to have on with us on the show today as our special guest, Brian Donahue. He's the Vice President of Products and Services for Citrix Online, who also is generously the sponsor of this show, the Anywhere Office. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely.
Now, Brian, you work with Citrix Online, and there's a number of services that Citrix provides, a number of different tools. Two of the ones that we talk about, I guess, most on this show is GoToMyPC and also GoToMeeting. But you guys have a number of tools there, and one of the things that help with distributed work and working in an Anywhere office, one of the things I'd like to know is what was the very first tool, I guess, that Citrix rolled out? Maybe it wasn't even either one of these. Maybe it's something else. And what is it that kind of attracted you guys to this remote collaboration market?
Great. Well, we've always been in the collaboration business. Our first service that we ever offered was called Expert City. And what Expert City was a marketplace for technical support. And what we had was this distributed group of experts who would help with tech support questions. And the way that they would help is using our screen sharing software to actually connect to end users' PCs, see what the problem they were having was. If the end user wanted, they could allow the expert to control the PC and actually fix it. And this service then morphed into our first product, which is called GoToAssist, which is a product that allows technical support or customer care experts to connect to end users' PCs who are having problems and solve for them. And today that technology, that product is in the biggest companies worldwide, and there's something like 12,000 people who receive technical support with GoToAssist every day today. So just, thousands and thousands of sessions going on all the time for solving technical support problems. That was our first product, followed then by GoToMyPC, which you guys are avid users of.
That's right.
Which, allows anyone to connect to their PC from anywhere they are. Allowing any place to be their office, and it's really the fastest, simplest, and most secure way to get access to your PC and work as if you're right behind it from anywhere.
Brian, let me ask you, with Expert City and the GoToAssist program, I believe you said it was called, was the need you were addressing there, the idea that there were organizations that maybe didn't have on-staff IT people or on-staff technical experts?
Yeah, exactly. It was this need that some a lot. There were a lot of end users that couldn't get the support that they wanted from their own IT staff or actually maybe even from the software vendor, and that there was this, you know, distributed group of experts who were willing to give them help. It was much more of a community-type model.
That's great.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I've been on the other side of that, although I've provided a lot of support for people in my former life as a primarily as an IT support person. I know that I've also often had to call, you know, high-level Microsoft support and people like that, and they've used those products like that, what you're talking about there. And the amount of time it saves is unbelievable because, you know, it used to be that I would have to describe every single little thing on the screen, and then they'd tell me, why don't you do this, and I'd click here and click there, and you never were sure whether the person on the other end was actually doing what you were asking them to do. So troubleshooting was kind of a nightmare, and I think that service alone has really, really made support much, much easier for support reps, wouldn't you say?
Oh, right. I completely agree. I mean, it makes it easier for support reps because, you know, they can actually see and solve you know, much faster. And it makes it better for customers. They don't have to do as much explaining. It also, using a service like GoToAssist really increases the likelihood that you're going to be able to solve a problem and confirm that solution the first time so people aren't having to call back and call back, that you can really make sure that it's solved. And if you think about the support market today, I mean, we all hear the stories of offshoring support and that a lot of technical support today is coming from India and the Philippines and other countries. And products like GoToAssist make that transition to offshoring actually so much easier because agents from anywhere can see the problem more clearly. And even if there's, you know, maybe a little bit of a language barrier because of dialects and stuff, that can be overcome using a product like GoToAssist because less conversation is actually needed to identify and to solve a problem.
Sure. I find that the services that Citrix provides are really some of the core type of things we talk about for being able to do distributed work. They really are some of the technology that enables that kind of work. Now, can you give us a rundown? You mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned the GoToAssist, and we talked about GoToMyPC, which, as you mentioned, not only do I use, I'm a rabid fan of. I'm using that product literally on a daily basis to get into my PC or clients' machines and helping them out and accessing files and things. What are some of the other services that Citrix provides that help with this distributed work and you know, business continuity issues?
Yep. The other another product that we're delivering today is called GoToMeeting. And that allows a person to hold a meeting with, you know, any number of people to look over a spreadsheet together, go through a sales demonstration, train, kind of any of the reasons that people meet today. It's just as flexible as our other tools, meaning that the meeting organizer can be just about anywhere and can call a meeting instantly or plan a meeting in advance, and it allows people, you know, to be on the same page. And whether you're in the same office or across the world, GoToMeeting is just absolutely the easiest tool for bringing a group together and getting your point across. The other tool that is our latest service that's just releasing now is called GoToWebinar, and it really takes meetings to the next level. A webinar is a web seminar, of course, where, you know, you have a speaker and then perhaps, you know, hundreds or even 1,000 participants on the other end that are listening and learning. And GoToWebinar is a tool that's really built around optimizing that. It helps webinar hosts bring in the largest audience and manage that audience and then deliver a really smooth message to that group and make it interactive with things like polls and questions and answers and surveys and things like that to make the message, you know, stronger and reinforced with this large group. So it basically turns anybody, you know, an individual or a small business or a large business into an expert web presenter or web marketer.
I'll tell you, I personally am really excited when I read that you guys were releasing that because we deliver a lot of workshops on how to manage remote employees and how to kind of improve virtual teamwork and a lot of companies that, you know, we've all often looked at doing that, and we often provide that service just, you know, from a distance, and we've done it with conference calls in the past, and some of them like to do it that way, and we've even used GoToMeeting for it, but as you mentioned, this new product that you've got coming out really addresses it. It kind of takes that to another level of being able to do that with the polling and the things like that. And I'm excited about that because I think it's going to allow us to provide training and some of our workshops and seminars to a lot more people than we were able to do before.
you guys are absolutely kind of the target demographic for us because, you know, we all believe in the power of web seminars. I mean, they're very, you know, most of us have attended one today. They're really, really cool. They allow you to, you know, get to training or hear a message directly from your desk as opposed to traveling. The problem to date has been, you know, that they're technical, that they usually take a producer and a technical staff to actually pull one off. And secondarily, they're extremely expensive. You know, a typical webinar can cost between $9,000 and $20,000 to produce when you tie in all the lead generation steps and the conference call and then the web portion as well. It's extremely expensive. And we said to ourselves, wow, you know, we know that web seminars can be very, very powerful, and we are the experts in making technology accessible and simple and cost-effective for small businesses today. And we really spent a long time over the last year or so really focusing on coming up with a solution for small businesses that would allow them to deliver a web seminar really instantly and quickly.
Great. Like I said, I'm very excited, and I look forward to trying that service out and using it to deliver some of our things.
I also think what you said earlier, Brian, about it being a community-building tool, a lot of times these communities of mutual interest are just people who have shared interest, and without having to get them all together in one location to be able to kind of circle the wagons with those people is incredibly valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's super powerful. Super powerful to businesses of all sizes, and whether it's a planned event or even an emergency event, it's very, very useful.
When you bring that up, an emergency event, I understand you have a new version of GoToMyPC that's sort of specifically geared towards business continuity.
Yeah, it really is. You know, over the past, you know, 6 or 8 months, we've all been seeing stories in the news about different types of disaster and different types of disruption to the workforce and the workplace. And you know, lately we've been hearing a lot of stories around the avian flu, and I think when people started talking about the possibility of the avian flu, it brought up a new kind of disaster scenario, which is really about workplace disruption, where, you know, the office itself may actually be intact, but, you know, for a number of reasons, it may not be the safest place to work from. And, you know, businesses are forced to think about, okay, if I have a functional office, but it's not the best place for people to work from, how can I quickly come up with a solution for my workforce to allow them to work distributed in a distributed manner? We saw that problem as super interesting. I saw a survey about businesses today, and the survey asked businesses to talk about how prepared they were for disasters. And businesses were asked, you know, how prepared are you for a power outage? How prepared for you are for a data center outage? And then how prepared for you are prepared for, is your business for workforce disruption?
I bet that was an eye-opener.
It was really an eye-opener. You know, basically most businesses have can get through a power outage and have solutions in place. Something like 88% are prepared for a power outage, and 70-plus percent are prepared for a data center outage. But it was less than 13% that were really prepared for workforce disruption.
Well,
the office is intact, but people can't really get there. And, you know, we began to think about that and say to ourselves, well, you know, how can we help? And how can we bring a product to market that will solve this problem? And, you know, GoToMyPC is a great workforce disruption tool. Basically, it allows you to access your PC, your work PC or your home PC, from any place you can access the Internet. So it already solves the basic location problem. But it may not be right for every business that they don't want to invest in it unless they really needed it, you know, unless they were really having a workforce disruption that they might not be able to afford the cost or might not want to implement it unless there was truly a reason. So we packaged GoToMyPC in more of an insurance plan type model where businesses can buy GoToMyPC for business disruption or for business continuity for a small fee and then actually only begin to pay for usage at the point that they had to turn it on and actually use it. So it's kind of like an insurance plan. You can buy the business continuity package for GoToMyPC and install it, and then if you have an emergency or you have disruption, you can begin using it, and then you pay upon your usage. So it really allows businesses who, you know, may have been priced out of the market for preparedness or for planning to have a plan in place, and if they're forced with needing to implement it, they can do it on a moment's notice and begin paying for it at that point of usage.
I think that's a really good point there, Brian, and we'll talk more about that after the break, about just, I mean, that's the kind of flexibility that we're always talking about here, and it seems like you provided that. So we're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll be back with Brian Donahue of Citrix Online to talk more about business continuity and the great services they provide.
So now where I'm going.
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Does your commute sound like this? Or this? The choice is yours. You can work from anywhere.com.
Welcome back to the Anywhere Office. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 866-472-5790 or email radioshow@theanywhereoffice.com. Now back to the show. Here are Phil and Jason.
In the Anywhere Office, our show about living a digital lifestyle in the changing world of work. We have Brian Donahue from Citrix with us as our guest today. And just to let you guys know, they give you that call-in number there at the break and our email address. But you can also participate in the show. We're trying to foster a community around these ideas. So if you can post a comment to our blog or call and leave us a message with questions or feedback at 954-208-0165, we welcome your input. We're here with Brian Donahue, and Brian, we were talking about business continuity and some of the products that Citrix offers before we went to the break there. And what I wanted to ask you coming back here is, what is the biggest change that you personally have seen in the workplace and the way that people work in the last 5 to 10 years?
That's a good one. Well, you know, I think one of the most interesting things is how the standard boundaries about when you're working are actually kind of changing, and people, I think, expect themselves to be available and to be working longer or out of office hours, and I think employers expect a lot more of flexibility and accessibility to employees, and I think that's happening in kind of a positive way. I think, you know, earlier there was a lot of apprehension around, you know, constantly processing email and always being available. But I think, you know, as a workforce, we're finding kind of that balance of how to draw those lines carefully, how to make sure that people can have, you know, a happy life and a happy work life at the same time. My example would be this morning, my boss was getting on a plane at 5:45 a.m., and we were exchanging emails, and it felt normal to me. It didn't feel, you know, like a burden. I was getting up and getting ready for my run. He was running for the airport, and we were going to have a limited time to talk, and we just used that time. And I think he felt fine about using it, and I felt fine about giving it. And I think that trend is happening more and more, where, you know, people are okay about accessibility outside of the 9-to-5, and employers are expecting more outside of the 9-to-5.
And I think that brings up a good point there. It's kind of what we always, I often say that, you know, our website, you can work from anywhere, is not you should work from everywhere all the time.com. And I think that's one of the things, is it is a give and take. And I mean, I think for most people, they're willing to give that flexibility to a workplace and be accessible, like you said, as long as that goes in both directions. And I think, again, the smart companies are doing that. And then if you need to do something and shift your work time, as long as with these tools, things like Go to My PC, that allow you to get access, maybe go home at a normal time, have dinner with your family, and then put in a few hours later on at night because you have access to your work systems or your files, your data, and your email, that there's no reason. I've always said, as long as the work gets done, the clients are happy, and the deadlines are met, you know, this 9-to-5 mold that everyone's kind of in, for a lot of people, there's no need for that anymore. You know?
Yeah, I definitely see that trend is very much taking hold, that, you know, there's a kind of a new generation of the workforce, and I think they expect that kind of flexibility, and they expect to have a greater work-life balance. And I think the new generation of companies actually expects to give it as well. And I think businesses today really understand that, you know, happier employees are more productive and loyal employees.
And, you know, I agree, and I think that's a refreshing splash of cold water in my face, that companies are going in that direction and seeing that. And
what do you see as the next step, Brian, in distributed work and remote collaboration? Where do you see this headed?
What I see today is probably that people are getting more and more comfortable in terms of working in distributed environments in spurts, but maybe not for long periods of time.
Okay.
And I think people are going to be working remotely for longer periods of time, and it's going to be much more accepted. Even in our business today, we have about 500 employees, and we've just grown to the point where we have many more remote employees that are very ingrained in our data, running our day-to-day business, but are rarely here. We have a person who runs marketing for our GoToMeeting product that works out of New York, and all of her support team is actually here in Santa Barbara. And when we first kind of thought of this idea, we were like, "Wow, that's such a critical role. Can it really work?" And we said, "Well, gosh, we're making all these collaborations. If anybody can make it work, we should be able to make it work." But we actually questioned it ourselves, and it's working beautifully, and our products make it easy for that to happen as well. But our culture also allowed it to happen. So I think kind of the next trend is that people are going to be working remotely for longer periods of time as opposed to just spurts. I think employers are going to be more comfortable hiring employees who do core jobs that are usually central office kind of jobs, but they're actually located primarily in remote locations.
And what you say there is vital. I think it's normal for people to sort of be a little trepidatious and sort of be like, "Well, we don't know. This isn't the way we've always done things." And what we have found over and over again when we start to implement some of these new systems for clients is that once you try it and you see how it works and you see that it's really not necessarily a very new way of doing things. A lot of the skills and the talents and the things you've always done still apply, then it sort of just becomes the way you do things.
That's exactly what we have found. The good news there is there are all kinds of technologies that make it easier to stay in touch and work remotely but make it feel like real time. But I think also, as you mentioned, people are more flexible, businesses are more willing to consider it, and general business circumstances make us all have to think about it and consider it as an option. So
very true. Well, thank you, Brian. We'd like to really thank you for joining us today on the show and sharing your insights and opinions with us here. We're really looking forward to that GoToWebinar product that's coming out. When did you say that? You said the enterprise version of that is out currently. Is that correct?
The enterprise version is out right now, and our online version is coming out in late August. So watch our website, GoToMeeting or GoToWebinar.com, to get a free trial.
Great. And again, you can go to GoToMyPC.com, and when you sign up for the trial, put in that anywhere space office as the promo code, and you can get a 30-day free trial. So thanks very much, Brian, for joining us.
Guys, always a pleasure. Thank you.
We appreciate it, Brian. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about next week and what we're going to be talking about. Talk about what you're going to
talk about, baby.
Next week's show is Work is Something You Do, Not Someplace You Go. And we're going to be looking at some of the pros and cons and tips of setting up and thriving in a home office. And who are our guests next week, Jason?
We have a couple of excellent guests next week. We have Chief Home Officer Jeff Zabar, a journalist and a home office expert. And we have a freelance audio engineer and a musician, Andy Simon. And some of the bumper music you've been hearing today, Don't Know Where I'm Going, is that song. And that's actually one of Andy's songs there that you've been listening to today.
That's right. And again, we'd like to encourage you to contribute to our show. And you can do that at our blog, visiting theanywhereoffice.com. You can email us, radioshow@theanywhereoffice.com, or you can leave us a message when the show's not running live at 954-208-0165. So thanks for joining us. I'm Phil Montero.
I'm Jason Montero. And remember, no matter where you go, there you are.
Montero Consulting would like to thank you for listening to The Anywhere Office. To contact Phil or Jason, visit theanywhereoffice.com.